Let's have meet and greet time. Meet and greet. Shake hands.
Happy New Year's. I have a couple announcements here. First off, we will continue our Revelation study tonight at 6 p.m. And then January 23rd and 24th, the Evangelism Conference down at Geyer Springs First Baptist Church. We'll be having those two things. That's all I have. Will y'all pray with me? God, I pray, say thank you for all you've blessed us with, Lord. Thank you for this holiday season we've had with family and friends. God, I pray for this new year. God, I pray it'd be the best year yet. Lord, I pray we grow closer to you and closer with everything we do. God, I pray you just watch and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, it's January. Do we have any January birthdays? Come up and we'll sing happy birthday to you. please. Got it all counted up? All right. Okay. Hymn number 15.
Thank you. Well, it's good to see you this first day of 2023. Thank you for coming. If you're visiting with us for the first time, there's a visitor's card there in front of you. We'd like for you to fill that out and drop it in the offering plate, and we'd have a record of your visit. Our men will come forward to receive the morning offering.
Bow with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We just thank you for all the blessings in life. And we just pray that you just be with us as we go through this new year, and that we would continue to come to your house and fellowship with them, brethren. And we just pray that you be with us as we go through this week. Be with Brother Lanny as he brings a message, that we would take it in our hearts. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Monica. If you're involved in children's church, we're going to give you an opportunity to take charge of your group now. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter. And let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. We're going to start with verse 35. And we've got two more passages after that, Acts 1:8 and then Matthew 28. But we need Romans 8:35 first. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now turn back a few pages to the book of Acts, Acts 1 and verse 8. This is a familiar verse. You know this well. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Probably know this already, but we get that word witnesses from the word martyr. One that's willing to give his life for a cause. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, back a few more pages to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Matthew 28 and verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You may be seated. I always enjoy preaching the Christmas message. I got the opportunity to preach it twice this year. And I always enjoy that, enjoy laying out the purpose of Christmas and the reason for Christmas. But I also enjoy preaching a New Year's message. And perhaps the message has not changed. At least this message has not changed. The Bible has not changed. And we are in desperate need. And the Lord's told us in the 8th chapter of Romans that he's going to be with us until the end of time, in Matthew 28, until the end of the world. And so, what is our strategy as a church? What's your strategy as an individual in this year to come to take more with us to heaven? The purpose of the church is to win the lost. The very purpose of Osage being here in this spot is to win more folks to Jesus, to see more lives changed. And so we've seen that in the past. We've seen folks saved in the past. If we continue with that same strategy, will we be able to win more? Will we win the same? Will we win less? What is our strategy for this coming year? And how can you get hooked up with that strategy? How can you be a part of what is going on? How can you hook yourself up to that? I was taught from a very young age that if there was any work going on, you joined yourself to that. You made yourself a part of that. And my dad had a way about him to cause you to want to do that. Some of it was through bragging on you, and some of it was through threatening you. But he had a way to make you want to be a part of the work. And so from a very young age, I learned that if there was some wood to be unloaded, you got in there and did your part. If there was some that needed to be loaded, you would do your part. If there was some hay on the truck, or if there was some hay to be loaded on the truck, you got in there and did your part. Some of my earliest memories of hauling hay was me sitting on a pop crate guiding the truck between the rows of hay. Some of you probably had that same experience if you were raised on a farm. So how do we get involved? How can threatening, obviously, doesn't do any good here. We're all grown people. We have to make our own choices. So I want us to talk about that. What is our strategy for carrying out Acts 1:8? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses or martyrs. You'll give your life in order to witness to those around you, those in your Samaria, those places that you wouldn't normally go, or witness to people that you would not normally witness to, and then to all the world. Got a strategy for your family, those that are close to you, those that are in that next circle, and those that are in that next circle. I've taken the opportunity. Of course, they kind of expect me to. I don't know if they expect you to or not, but my family expects me to do a little preaching when we all get together. Not very long, but to share the gospel that Jesus has come and died on the cross for our sin. And if we'll receive Him as our Savior, our lives will be changed. I still believe that, don't you? No matter how cruel the world is, I believe that Jesus still changes lives. I believe that the lost are still out there and that people need to be saved. I still believe in this old book called the Bible, and that it's the truth from cover to cover, and that none of it needs to be questioned. That all of it is the inspired, infallible word of truth. And I hope that I've brought you to a place to believe that very same thing. Not that it is inspired in parts and you're inspired to spot the spots. It's all inspired from cover to cover. So what is our strategy for Acts 1:8 and Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel? We're to teach them what we've been taught, and we're to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So if we do not have a plan, I think that we'll fail. So I think that we have to have a strategy. First of all, I want us to recognize the problem. And I've already said this once, but men are lost and without hope without the Savior. Look with me at Ephesians, the second chapter, and look down at verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Men are lost, women are lost, children are lost, and they're without hope unless you and I intervene. We have this opportunity before us. Someone told me a few years ago that the Japanese call that a dangerous opportunity when a construction sign was up. But it's also a great opportunity for us to deal with the hearts of young people and to share the gospel with them and perhaps be able to share the Christmas story, the real Christmas story, with their parents. Did you catch it? We got to do it. A lot of parents came and we got to do it. Secondly, and I don't know if we want to recognize this as a problem, but I think that it could be a problem if we do not treat it right. But in John, the fourth chapter, do you know what happened in the fourth chapter of John? Do you know what the fourth chapter is all about? Jesus meets the woman at the well. He goes through Samaria, a place that Jews would normally go around, but he goes through Samaria because he has an appointment with a woman at the well who has been married five times, and the man she's living with at that time was not her husband. I don't think Jesus said that's okay. But I think that it's the fact that whoever the individual is, if they're lost, they need to be saved. So his disciples have, he's met with the woman at the well. The disciples have gone into town and gotten food, and they have come back, and he has. They've asked him about eating, and he said he had food that no one knew about. And they said, somebody fed him while we was gone. No, he said that, and as the Samaritans came to the well to see Jesus, he said, this is my food here. This is what makes me tick here. And he said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is the saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labor. So whether or not we're harvesting or whether we're sowing seed, we're doing what we're called to do. How could it be a problem if the fields are white for harvest? How could that be a problem? Well, if the fruit is not harvested, rots on the vine. It's worthless. And so we have to harvest when the ripe is, when the harvest is ripe, and it's ripe now. And the person working next to you is ripe. The person living next to you is ripe. They're not all ripe. Some of them will reject. But mine and your responsibility is to share the gospel. Number three, there are plenty who need to be harvested. The problem is in Matthew 9:35-38, the laborers are few. Let's look at that. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. We could use some of that. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. It's not that we need harvest, we need laborers in the harvest. Statistics tell us that 20% of the church gives 80% of what is given for the work. 20% do 80% of the work. Which are you? Which one of those categories do you fit into? Well, you could say to me, well, Brother Lanny, I'm one of the givers. I give, but it don't work. Why not? Why not? I'm too busy. I've got too much to do. I have less time than other people in the church. Those folks that are working 8 hours and then get off of their job and get in one of the church vans and run around and pick up kids and pull into the church parking lot and let them out, they don't go home. They come in and go to work. And they work until Awana is over, and then they get back in the van and load those kids in the van and deliver them to their homes. They've all worked 8 hours, just like the rest of you. Sometimes I don't, but many of you do. I work, but I don't give. Really? You're hurting yourself. You're cutting yourself off. Cutting your nose off spite your face if you're not giving. So, am I trying to get you to give so my salary would be more? I've been here 30 years and it's never made any difference how much you gave. I want you to give so it'll help you. Because the Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. And my wife and I have discovered some 50 years ago, be 54 in May, that we can't outgive him. That we can't outgive him. I don't know that we've tried to outgive him. We've not tried to outgive him, but we can't outgive him. We give, and he gives to us. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, men have given into our bosom. Example after example after example. There's been a few times in the last week, we've talked about our giving, and this thought always comes to my mind, we can't outgive him. We just can't outgive him. Whatever he lays on our heart, we can't outgive him, whatever that is. And I want to urge you to give, not for me, or not for the needs of the church, but for your own needs. That God might be able, that you might open the windows of heaven, that he might be able to bless you. And when you restrict your giving, you restrict his blessing on your own life. Now, I'm sounding like a TV evangelist now, aren't I? But I'm not asking you to give it to me. I'm asking you to give it to the work of the Lord, that God would direct it. So I want us to identify our prospects in order to instigate our strategy. We're going to talk about our strategy last. But I want us to look at what our prospects are. Who is the prospects here in Acts 1:8 and Matthew 28. Who is this prospect? Well, it's any person who is not a member of a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Any person who is lost. I want us to look at just a few of the Lord's unlikely prospects. Have you ever thought about the kind of folks that He used, that He dealt with? He did not go into the kingdoms. He was not born as a prince or a king, even though he was a king. We looked at chapter 4 of John, the woman at the well, a woman of mixed race who had had five husbands and was currently living with a man that she was not married to. This woman at the well. And she became a great witness and went back and shared the gospel with those of Samaria. I'm going to move on. I could spend a little time on that, but I'm going to move on. A man who lived in the graveyard. Do you remember him? The Gadarene. He didn't wear clothes. He'd scream, cry, and cut himself. And he met Jesus. I know that's an extreme. That's an extreme case. But think about it. He was demon-possessed. But then when he met Jesus, he put on clothes and he was in his right mind and he wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said, no, you go back to your own village and tell them what great things God's done in your life. And that's what our chore is. That's what our job is to go back and tell other people what God has done in our life. Two men of the Roman mafia, maybe we wouldn't call them that, but maybe we would. Zacchaeus of Jericho and Matthew. Zacchaeus was up a tree when he found Jesus. Peter and James and John about their business of fishing when they found Jesus. For the last 40 years, I have not worked on a public job. But all the years before that, I did. And I feel like that, maybe you would think this is strange, but I feel like that my opportunities to witness was greater when I was working on a public job than it is when I'm pastoring a church. Now, I don't know how that could be. For one thing, is that when you're working on a public job, people just come to you. They're there. You've got folks, you've got prospects all around you. And all of them have needs. So what's our strategy? How are we going to do it? How are we going to bring more to Jesus this year than we did last year? Well, our strategy is the same. We use the same strategy because I think it's a great strategy. It's the workers are things that we need. More people investing their lives into what God is doing. But our mission statement here at Osage is this: to reach the lost and edify the saved through an adversity of ministry to all ages. Do we stop there? No. It goes on. Putting an emphasis on family and being kid and youth friendly. Now what I think we must do is that in this strategy
that we increase that work, that we do more of that work, that we do more of each thing that we've talked about, that we reach out more. Maybe we need to pray the prayer of Jabez. What that is? That the Lord might broaden our borders, that He might broaden our responsibilities and our possibilities. Let's stand together. Donna and Monica, come to help us. You have a need today. If God spoke to your heart, if you need to be saved, you're saved, you haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism yet, you need to do that. You're not a part of this fellowship, you'd like to join this fellowship today and give you an opportunity to come and do that. As we sing a verse of this invitation, we invite you to come. Thank you for being here. I want to invite you to come back tonight at 6 o'clock as we continue in the book of Revelation. And it's been a great study, and I think you would really enjoy it if you've not been a part of that, that you can hook up anytime that you want to. James Wheatley, would you go to the microphone, please, and dismiss us with a word of prayer? There was an announcement in the bulletin, January the 23rd and 24th, I think it was, and it is the State Evangelism Conference. We always try to take a group with us, and if you can get off work and go, I think it would be a great trip for you. It's lots of preaching and singing, lots of good fellowship that we'll enjoy together. The church will pay for your motel room. All you'd have to be responsible for is your food. But we'd love for you to be able to go with us. We'll take a whole van load if we can get that many to go. There's usually several of us that go, and we'd like for you to go. It'd be a great trip. It'll help the church for you to go. Absolutely, it will. It'll fire you up. And I hope that you'd pray about that and try to get in a position where you'd be able to go. So, James, thank you for volunteering.
Yeah. Will you pray with me? Dear Father, we just want to thank you for this day and thank you for all you've done. I pray that you'd give us wisdom as we go about this new year. Give us guidance. I just want to thank you for the message that we've heard today, and I pray that you go with us as we go about our week. In Jesus' name, amen.